Everyone today. Let's turn over to page 82 for our next song. Page 82. Pick things up just a bit.
Good morning, everybody. Let me stand up. It takes just a moment or two to stand up these days, but last Sunday was an experience, and we made it through, but I paid for it last Sunday night, so thus I've got a trusty little stool today to sit on, at least lean on some. And so with that being said, we are glad to see everybody out today. Appreciate the good crowd that's out today. I'm thankful to see each and every one as you have made your way out into the service tonight and or today. And I still ain't got my days and nights mixed back right. So, but we are glad to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. And I hope and pray that you've had a good week and a good time in the Lord this week is what I hope you've had. Now, I'm going to make a quick, just a quick rundown. First of all, we do have business meeting today, and so anybody that's a member of the church here today, we hope and pray that it's where that you can stay and be a part of the business meeting. That's enough about that. The other thing is we've been talking a lot lately about inviting people to our church, and a lot of people says, well, I don't want to get up and I don't want to speak to people, or I don't want to just say something. Back a few months ago, they brought up about doing something, a card or something to hand out. And Brother Tom was real good in coming up with these little "You Are Invited" cards. And so everybody pick you up some. They're out there on the table. Just pick up some. And you might say, well, I don't want to use all of them. Just pick up one or two. Hand them out this week. Just give them to somebody random. And as Sister Sandy says, 90% of them will say, well, thank you. The others may say something different, but it's fine. Now, you might say, well, it probably won't do any good. Jesus tells us a story about a man who had 100 sheep, and he went out and got one that was lost. Now, what I want to say to you is, if you hand out 100 of these and one of them shows up and they get saved, that's what it's all about. If there's somebody out there that needs the Lord and they need to get saved, and somebody gets a hold of one of these little cards and they see that Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church, wonder where that's at. Oh, on Fortress. I know where that's at. And they got their times on here. They might show up. The Lord might get a hold of them. It won't be me or you that gets a hold of them, but it'll be the Lord that'll get a hold of them. And when he gets a hold of them, thank God. Thank God's way I'll say it. Enough about that. But everybody pick you up some of those cards. And just if you don't see some out there, if everybody beat you to them, just say something to one of our brethren out here, one of our deacons, and they'll find you some that you can hand out, is what we want you to do. With that being said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are thankful for all of our visitors being here this morning. And I hope and pray that you've had a good week. I hope you've been able to talk to somebody about God and tell them about Jesus, that so much that maybe they're already on their way here. That's what I want us to do. So let's be about God's business today. We're thankful for the good songs. It, as we usually do, we'll go into our children's church at this time. Brother Sam, if you will.
Testing, testing. I don't know. I'm going to have to get me a shepherd's hook or something. I didn't know whether to tackle her or whatever else there. Well, I was, and I saw a tumbleweed go by, and that was good. All right. I think pink is the order of the day. I wish I'd wore my pink shirt. Y'all are looking good. Ben, we missed out. We dressed alike. Look at that. Stand up here, Ben. Stand up here. He got the memo. There you go. Good job. Stop. No wagering. This is not a contest. All right. Excuse me in my folly. Y'all are looking really good. Did Jesus teach a lot of stuff? Look right here. Here, look at me. Did Jesus teach a lot of stuff? Did he teach? Did he? Yeah, he taught when he preached, right? Did he teach about heaven? Yeah. I believe he did. Trick question. Did he teach about the sinners? Did he tell them about their lives, what they were doing wrong? Yeah. A lot of stuff. Did he teach about forgiveness? Yes. Yeah. Did he teach how to pray? You think he did both in the same breath? I believe he did. If you know this, say it with me, okay? I want to hear you. You ready? You've heard this. Our Father, which art heaven, hallowed. Say it. Be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's right. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our debts as we forgive our sin, those who we're indebted to. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. But right after that, he says, if ye forgive men their sins or their trespass, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive them, then your heavenly Father won't forgive you. One of the greatest attributes or characteristics of Christian living is to be able to do what? Forgive, right? That's what he's teaching. We have to be able to forgive. You know, if I've done you wrong, Miss Zoe, you know, I should apologize and you should do what? you should forgive me. I hope that you would. I hope I don't ever do you wrong. But, you know, that's the purpose. That's how we get along. That's how relationships prosper. That's how we get along with people, right? If we say, what are two words? If you've hurt somebody, what are you supposed to say? I'm sorry. And then the other person should say, I forgive you. We shouldn't go around hold a grudge. Y'all know what hold a grudge means? You know what that means? It means that if somebody does something to you, that you're mad at them from then on. And if we hold grudges, we're not very happy, okay? Because it just, it's like a, you ever have something bite you and it doesn't heal? It's, you know, a grudge is like that. It never heals. You've got to take care of it, okay? You've got to talk to God about it. You've got to talk to yourself. And if you can, talk to that other person about it. Hey, let's clear the air. Let's, you know, I got to get this off my chest. Sometimes they may not want to come to you. But here's the hard part. If we're real Christians, we'll do this. We'll forgive them without them saying they're sorry. That's hard to do. Boy, it's so hard to do. Because we'd like to think that we get them down on our level and they say, I'm sorry. But sometimes they won't come around. But Jesus forgave people when they were doing it wrong. When he was on the cross, one of the seven sayings that he said was this. He said what? Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so, if we as people, you as young people, young adults soon, learn the aspect of being forgiven, Ben, all of you, and we have that and we apply it, then we will fulfill one of his laws, that we love other people and be forgiving. Okay? All right. So stand up and say this with me real quick. Real quick. We'll just say the last verse. Say it after me. And lead us not into temptation.
Lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is
the
kingdom.
And the power.
And
the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. She said, cut to the chase. Let's get to it. All right. Thank y'all.
We want to get on with our service. Does anybody have any prayer requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? I will mention this. I talked to Mama Vern the other day, and actually Mama Vern took a fall the other day. Of course, she had the place cut off of her leg a couple of weeks ago, and it was not cancer, thankfully. But she took a fall the other day, and she has since broke her nose. And so, in other words, as somebody else said, so in other words, she's got two black eyes, and I'd say that's probably true. Let's do remember her in our prayers today. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? If not, I hope that you'll be prayerful for me today. Let's pray for this service. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray that the Lord will touch somebody in this service. Saved or lost. Sometimes it's good for us as the saved people to get touched by God and just get one of those blessings that you can't contain it. But I also pray that the sinners, the ones that needs to be saved, I pray God will touch them today. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart today? Bless your heart. Appreciate this prayer request, and we do want to remember this family, this young man. Thankful for this. Thankful she's willing to do it. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Thank the Lord. Lord does good things, great things, should say. Appreciate that. Somebody else got something on your heart? We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. So as we go to the Lord in prayer at this time, Brother Steve, would you start our prayer, please? Everybody pray.
Let's turn over to 232. 232. Men, let's sing out loud on the chorus in the melody. 232. songs have a theme today, folks? What are they about? Heaven. Choir, stand for us. Let's sing one more song. 72. 72. This is a song the church seems to like. This will be our last song this morning, Lord willing. Page 72.
One of the biggest things about this knee is trying to figure out a good place for this. And I keep expecting it to fall. If y'all noticed a while ago, I finally gave up and just held it, is what I did. And so, appreciate everybody being here today. I do want to give one other little bit of thank you, I guess is what I'll say. I want to say I appreciate the sound crew. We've got some new people that have taken part and taken it up, and I appreciate y'all doing that. And just thankful that you are taking hold and doing something here at the church, and our brethren needed help. And I guess I'm going to also say I feel sorry for Brother Steve. I was thinking a while ago I was trying to sing, You see, this recording, very little of me on the microphone, is for volume. I think y'all have noticed that. But it's mostly for the recording. So when I sing, Brother Steve, when he's doing the recording, he has to cut me out. But he has to listen to me. That's bad. Don't you say amen. But I am thankful for the sound crew. We've been asked quite a bit lately about if somebody wanted to hear the sermons. Go on the Murfreesboro website, and the services are there for people to go back and listen to. Tell your friends that they're there, and tell them to search it out, and they can find those sermons on the website. I'll also plug my program. You can find my I have a television program, in case some of you do not know, that I do on out of Southern Kentucky in Scottsville, Kentucky, and it's called The Country Preacher. And if you want to find those sermons, there are several on Facebook. You may say, well, I'm not on Facebook. All you have to do is Google the Country Preacher. You have to put the "the" in front of it, or you find somebody else. But it is The Country Preacher, and you can find several sermons on there. And if you have people that are lost, maybe you've got church friends that are saved and they need an encouraging word, these sermons are there for them to hear, that maybe it can pick them up. And you might say, well, what about shut-ins? Yes, it's for them also. So this is a way that the church reaches out. And so let's keep that in mind, is what I'll ask you to do. Does anybody have a word on your heart this morning? Has God given you something today? If not, turn to the book of Revelation today. The book of Revelation. I don't preach out of Revelation very much, but that's where the Lord led today. I'll just say it this way. It feels like it's going to line up today. I was searching for something to speak about, and Sister Barbara did the devotional for the Joyful Hearts. And by the way, I want to invite everybody. We meet once a month. Y'all come. You'll enjoy it. But she did the devotional for it the other day, and she talked about a special people. And then she talked about what made her a special person, and that was when the Lord spoke peace to her soul. That was rich, I tell you, it was. But as soon as she started reading her verses, these two words, there was two words that came to my heart, and I said, well, Lord, if that's what I'm supposed to preach on, you just make it get bigger, and it has. So we're in the book of Revelation, and we're going to start reading with verse 4. And it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the king of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto the Lord, unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our thought today is coming from that sixth verse. And we're going to talk about two main parts here. It all really comes together. But I hope today's message will be a message of encouragement unto us that are saved. I do. I want it to be an encouragement to us. However, for those that may not be saved, I hope it's an encouragement to you to desire to be saved, to be born into the family of God, to be Christ's brother. Did you notice I said Christ's brother? Yeah, we are heirs. We are heirs and joint heirs is the way that Paul put it in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. He said we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And we're going to get into that maybe here in just a little bit. But the actual thought today is for us that are kings and priests. We are kings and priests. Now, I've got kind of come to a little bit of knowledge and understanding that maybe it's not exactly a good interpretation from the Greek unto the English language here. And I don't want to be taken away from the Bible in any way, because we're going to be bringing this all back around for full circle. But the little bit of a poor interpretation was this. When it said kings, it should have been kingdom. Because we as ourselves, yes, we are part of the kingdom of God. But that kingdom is a far greater thing than most people realize. If you go back and you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, he was constantly preaching about the coming of the kingdom of God. If you'll remember, even going back further than that, when John the Baptist preached, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." When Jesus started preaching, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." When the disciples were sent out, they preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That turning toward God, turning towards Jesus, turning towards the Savior himself, was bringing you toward the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a special place. It's a special place. And I want you today to keep that in mind today in this service. I want you to think about the kingdom of God. How many of you know somebody that is, quote, royalty? Nobody raising your hand? Most of us, when we see royalty today, it's on television, right? There's not a lot of kings and queens out here in the world. We had Queen Elizabeth up until a few months ago that was over Britain, and she died, and now we have King Charles. Hey, have y'all noticed where he lives? That's a big, nice, fancy, oh, I ain't supposed to say house, am I? It's a palace is what it is. It's a palace that is decorated with everything that is possible for it to be. Now, if you go farther back than that, and we'll go back into biblical times, I want you to understand, they call him King Herod, and they call him King Pilate. They did not live in just an apartment on the side of Jerusalem. They lived in a place that was really flamboyant, especially Herod. Herod had a desire to have things bigger and better than everybody else. He built many things while he was over Jerusalem and over Israel. And when I say many things, he built ways of water. He built ways of roads. He built many fine houses. Even King Herod himself decided to build to refashion the temple of God. He tried his best to make it better is what he did. But I want you to realize something. In everything that Herod did, he was not able to make it as good as the kingdom of God that you have. You may have a desire to live in a palace someday. You may have a desire to live in a great big mansion somewhere someday. Me, I'm fine right where I'm at. Truthfully, when I get to heaven, as long as I get there, I'll find me a corner in the glory, glory land, is what the song says. I'll be fine with it just being a corner in that place. As long as I have a place in the kingdom of God. Now, as you look at this today, let's move on just a minute here. The next part of that verse, he hath made us kings and priests. Yes, you are a priest of God. Now, a lot of people today probably look at that and they'd say, well, I don't want to be a priest. That's about like being a preacher. I don't want to be a preacher. They have to live up to certain standards. They have to live in a way that people would know that they are preachers. They have to be this, and they have to study, and they have to be just where that they're supposed to be. Now, the actual priests that these people were accustomed to were the priests that fulfilled the work in the temple of God. That was their example. Now, I want to say, first of all, they had left their work. They had put it aside. Oh, yes, they still put on the robes. They still done all of the actions that they were told to do by Moses, but yet they, in many ways, did not fulfill what God wanted them to do. You see, that's why that you are a priest today. Because the people of God did not fulfill what God wanted them to do. And when I say the people of God, I'm talking about Israel themselves. They had left their first love. They had left God. They had started worshiping idols. They had actually took the Torah, the scriptures, if you would, that they had, and they had even took it and used it in the wrong way. We have that today among our churches today, how individuals will take the Word of God and they'll skew it to the left. Maybe they'll take it over here to the right. Right wingers, left wingers, whichever way you want to say it. But the idea that I want you to understand, you are the priest today before God. He has separated you to be a priest. When you were saved by the grace of God, you entered a point of honor. Did you get what I'm saying? You entered a point of honor. I want you to think within your head right now, just a minute here. Think for just a moment. What was the greatest honor that you ever had? Was you able to be the president of a club in high school? Maybe for a lot of us, that would have been great. I never did. Maybe you were something else in school. Maybe later on you were able to be a supervisor. Maybe you was able to move on up in a company. Maybe you had some great honor that people bestowed upon you. But I want you to understand, when God saved your soul and he put you into the kingdom of God and then he made you a priest of God, he divided you out. He did. He put you in a special place. You became something very special unto him. Now, if you go back in the Word of God to the very first priest that there was, the very first high priest was Aaron, Moses' brother. God chose him to be the high priest. He was the one that was going to take the offerings into the most holy place. He had a great responsibility in that day. Hey, did y'all know something about a high priest? He went into that holiest of holies one time a year. And he carried with him blood. And this is the interesting part I want you to get. When he went into that tabernacle, did you know there was bales on the bottom of his robe? So that when he went in to that holiest of holy, in that place where God was, and he was going about God's work, every movement made those bells jingle. You say, well, why did he do that? Because if he didn't do it right, you know what happened? God would strike him down right there. And he also wore a rope that if he died in there, the other priest could go up to that curtain that was there, and they could take hold of that rope and pull him out. You see, being a priest has a great responsibility. It is a great thing that God has put upon you. And you might say, well, I don't want to be a high priest, but I want you to understand something. There were other priests besides the high priest. There was those priests that came in each and every day. And they didn't go into the most holy place, but they went in to the holy place. Not the most holy, but the holy place. Some of them went and they made sure that there was oil in the lamps. Woo! Think about that. Now, what is the oil in the lamp symbolic of? The Spirit of God is what it is. It's for us as God's people. Some of you are the priests that are making sure that there's oil in the lamp of this church. It is the one that you are showing to them that oil, and you're showing them that Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of wanting others saved by the grace of God. Ye are kings and queens, kings and priests in the house of God. You have an opportunity to fill the cups with oil. There was also another table in the holy place that the priest went in. And that priest went in to the table of showbread. And he had to make sure that that bread was there. I want you to understand today that we as God's people, we have the responsibility of handing out the bread of life. We hand out the bread of life to a people that are in so much need today. They are in so much need of that bread. You might say, what is the bread of life? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am that bread which was given to your fathers which were out in the wilderness. I am that bread. So when we go out to individuals each and every day and we hand them a card, you're giving them just a morsel of bread that they can find their way to Jesus. You're handing them Jesus is what you're doing. As we continue on this day, these priests that went in to the holy place, they had one other responsibility. They took the coals of the fire from the altar, and they took them up to the very door of the holiest of holy, because there was another altar there. Now that altar, best I can figure, is pretty close to the size of this pulpit here today. In some ways, whoever came up with the design of this thing got pretty close to what the altar of incense was. It was about 2 foot in size, square. And in that 2 foot in size and up so high, there was a place there that you could put the coals of fire with incense. And that incense would bring about a sweet aroma unto the nostrils of God. It wasn't meant for the people of the world to hear or to smell that incense that was there. It wasn't meant to go out into the camp for them to smell, but it was meant to go unto God. And symbolically, that incense went up to God. And what it was symbolic of the prayers of God's people. You are kings and priests today. You are the priests that are praying as they go in. You take the incense. You take the prayer request of this sister here, of that brother there, of this one here and that one there. You take them into your heart and you're delivering up the prayers unto God as they asked you to. But there was more priests than this. You know, there was some priest that never got inside the tabernacle. There was some that when God said, it's time to move, boys. It's time to get up and go. You know what they did? They set about to starting to tear down that tabernacle. And when I mean tear it down, it was a tent that they had there in that day. And they would go out and they would start to take each section down. And they had to do it in a proper way. And as they took these things down, they went following God. I'm thankful today I read the report from Belize today. And I read how that they organized that mission into a church. And I'm not going to go into the entire story, how the Lord woke Brother Monty up and just gave him one word, Belize. You know what that was? That was God saying, boys, it's time to tear it down here. Take it to them. And that's what he did. Brother Monty went down there and they organized a church down there a month ago. I'm not telling you you're going to go to Belize. I'm not telling you you're going anywhere. But there's times when you pick up the church here in this house. You pick up brother so-and-so. You pick up sister. You pick up that child. You pick up that one. And you just lift them up. You know what those priests did? They had that altar of incense. They had two poles. They'd slide it through them rings. They'd pick it up. And they didn't just hold it up like this. They put it on their shoulders. You know what this tells us? We're supposed to put our church on our shoulders. We're to pick them up in those times when they need it. We're to lift them up. We're to lift them up like God would have us to do. You might say today, I was saved, but I don't know that I'm a priest material. But I want you to understand that there was a reason why God chose you. He chose you for a particular reason today. I want you to go over to the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And I'll try to hurry this along. I know I'm going long. 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. And if you remember this chapter, this is the one that Jesus, when he went into the temple and he read the first two verses, and he said, today this is fulfilled in your eyes. But he didn't go down to verse 3, and I want you to look at verse 3. He said, I am to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. First thing is, Zion is the church of the living God spiritually. Zion in that day was considered Jerusalem. It was considered to be all of Judea. But in God's mind, Zion is the church spiritually. But he says, I point unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty. Y'all a beautiful bunch. You are. When y'all get in the spirit, y'all are even more beautiful. When you get to the place where that you are doing the work of a priest, hey, I don't know what that priest, all of those actions that they went through. Brother Stewart used it in the Sunday school lesson. He talked about how many different sacrifices those men made that day. And I'm like, boy, they bound to have been wore out. Oh, to be wore out doing the work of God. It's a truly a great blessing. But he says unto them, I give you beauty for ashes. You might say, well, ashes? That was symbolic of humbleness. What is a tree? That's something that's not easily moved. A tree is something that brings comfort on a hot day. A tree is something that brings shelter in the times of storms. Sometimes you as kings and priests in this world, you are so you're so much like a tree. Sometimes small, but you're growing. Brother Brad, get you a song. Because you're growing to be that tree. To be the one that anchors the kingdom. All right, you look around here today. Most of you have got some anchors in this church, haven't you? You've got ones you look at and you say, well, oh, Lord, what would this church do without Brother Key? We'll say that. Brother Bill, Brother Steve. Maybe some of the ladies, they would look at Sister Elaine. What would this church do without her and Miss Ruth, Sister Cheryl, Sister Joan? What would they do? What would you do? I remember when the song leader at Mount Tabor, and that was Brother Bowie Massey, he was a deacon, a fine deacon, a fine song leader. I remembered when he died, you know what everybody said at Mount Tabor? What are we going to do? We ain't got nobody who's going to step up into his place. What will we do? Somebody stepped up. Somebody stepped up. A few years later, Brother Roy Green passed away. Same thing. Oh, we're just bad shape, folks. What are we going to do? Somebody stepped up. Milton Dickerson died. Somebody stepped up. Miss Ellie Lowe passed away. Somebody stepped up. Oh, it kind of got where that the forest had gotten cut down just a little bit. Maybe the spirit wasn't as strong in that old church. I wasn't there, but I was standing on the outside looking in. I don't think I was the only one. That was praying for that old church. I'd asked Lord, I said, Lord, send some young people that the Spirit may get in them and that they might show your love. About 8-10 years ago, we were privileged to get to go back for a revival service. Hadn't been in a couple years. There was a young mother over here, about 20-year-old. She got up, got to testify. Woo-wee, she said, this is good. Another one got up over here, started shouting. Another one over here started testifying. They started working with sinners. They started doing this and that.
when a big tree gets cut down, it allows the younger ones to come through. Just remember, you're kings and priests. You're that tree that's planted. Just grow up. Stay in the body. Keep your roots in the great fountain, which is God, that you can develop into being what God would have you to be. Brother Brad, while we sing, everybody please rise.